Well, today is a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbin from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett coming to you on this Friday. So glad that you're tuning in today. I just want to remind you that the School Choice Week is January 26th through February the 1st. And at Hickory Ridge Academy, which is a ministry of Hickory Ridge Community Church down in South Battlefield Boulevard in Chesapeake, is offering an opportunity for your child to attend one day of school for free, K-5 through the 7th grade. Love to have them come. Just try it out for a day. If you're a parent, you can accompany your child. You don't have to leave them. You can be right there with them the whole time just to kind of get a feel for what we're trying to do. And we believe that if it's Christian, it ought to be better. And as we look at these children that God has trusted us with, we believe in a biblical worldview. We teach them God's word. We teach them how to rightly divide the word of truth. But we also are strong on academics. For example, if you have a younger child, so many schools now are not teaching phonics. And so we teach our children how to read phonetically. And so we believe that's the best way to learn how to read. And so we find that that is a very successful way of teaching young people how to read. And we'd love to tell you more about the school. If you have any questions, like we want to call the school, my wife happens to be the school administrator and, in my opinion, the best teacher we have because the school is small enough that she teaches and she runs the school. And I may be a little bit biased on that, but I tell you what, she's taught a lot of kids through the years and does a phenomenal job. She has got a degree in special ed. And if you have a child that maybe have some slight learning disabilities, we can help them with that. And we just want to be a blessing to you and want to help your child succeed. So call 421-7500. That's 757-421-7500. We'll let you know about the school, and you can ask for Sherry Corbett if you want to ask some specific questions, or Jennifer or Jeannie if you have children that are younger, and we'd love to be coming alongside you to help you. Well, it is Friday, and we want to talk today as we go through our study of 1 Peter chapter 1. We're down at verses 6 through 12, and we're talking about this subject of suffering and salvation. And the Bible is very clear that when we become followers of Christ, it doesn't necessarily mean a life of ease. And I have a big problem with what people would call the prosperity gospel, which basically says, hey, come to Jesus, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise, you have no more problems, everything will come together with you, and you will be rich and famous, and everything will just go your way. But as I look at biblical Christianity, when we become followers of Christ, we are going against the flow. And I'm not saying that we're going to become poor and destitute. I mean, my God says he can supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So my God's going to take care of me. As a follower of Christ, it means that my sins are forgiven. It means that I have a home in heaven. It means that I have transferred myself from me to Christ. And I'm putting my confidence completely 100% in him. And my job now is to tell everybody else what Christ has done for me. Now, those who don't know Christ, the gospel can be offensive. Now, we try not to be offensive. And I hope as you listen to the broadcast today, I hope I don't say anything that offends you with my tone of speech or offends you in what I say. But I do know that sometimes the gospel is going to offend people because we want to do things our own way, and God has a way that he wants us to do things. And so suffering and salvation do go together. Christians are the most persecuted religious group worldwide. I don't know if you realize this or not, but on average, there's 180 Christians around the world that are killed every month for their faith. Every month, 180 Christians are killed for the faith. According to the United States Department of State, in more than 60 countries, Christians face persecution from their governments or their surrounding neighbors because of their faith in Christ. One of the worst countries in the world for persecution of Christians is North Korea. With the exception of four officially state-controlled churches, North Korea, they will face detention in prison camps. They will have severe torturing, and in some cases, even execution for practicing their religious beliefs. North Koreans suspected of having contact with South Koreans or other foreign missionaries in China, if they're caught, they face persecution. If they're caught having a Bible, They faced persecution. Some have been known to be executed because they had a Bible. The conditions in this country have remained the worst in the world for Christians for the past 12 years. In 41 of the 50 worst nations for persecutions, Christianity or Christians are being persecuted by Islamic extremists. Christians face persecution even in countries with a large Christian population. For example, Colombia, the Christian political rebels have targeted leaders because they feel like they are coming to Christ. Too many are coming to Christ, and so they're targeting different religious leaders. And even in countries like Nigeria, we have missionaries in Nigeria, and Nigeria faces a lot of persecution, even though there's a large percentage of Christians within Nigeria. And my dear friend, Pastor Friday, pastors several churches in Nigeria, and he was telling me that the persecution is real, and the reason it's so strong of the persecution within Nigeria is because the greater continent of Africa realizes is if the country of Nigeria goes down and it loses its Christian influence, that will impact the entire African nation. And so he realizes that the battle is real, and so he is very vigilant in sharing his faith and starting Christian schools and getting the gospel out. When you look at the book of Acts, there are four major persecutions in the church within its very first decade. I mean, here the church is born. I mean, Jesus ascended. He gives his disciples this instruction to go out and make disciples. And when you read the book of Acts, some would call the book of Acts Luke's letter, continuation letter. Luke wrote the book of Acts. It basically is a summary or a book of history over the Acts of the Apostles. And we learn that the church is very young. It is only 10 years old, and it's already facing four major persecutions within its first 10 years of existence. As you look at the overall picture of today, Christians being persecuted, there are 100 million Christians today who are being persecuted. So I don't want us to get discouraged over this. One of the amazing things that I've discovered as I talk to people who are being persecuted, I remember one time we had a special prayer meeting for the church in Nigeria. And we hooked up through phone a contact with Pastor Friday. And I remember him telling us as we were praying for him, he said, "Don't pray that persecution will stop. Pray that the church will remain pure in these times of persecution." And that kind of took me back because I got thinking, if that were me, and I had a group of people praying for me when I was under really dire persecution, I think I'd want them to pray that the persecution stop. But Pastor Friday understands something about persecution. Persecution doesn't stop the gospel. Persecution can bring about purity within the church. The church was started in the seeds of persecution, and God has used that as an opportunity to get the gospel out. I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We learn from this passage, "Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, in a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, in afflictions, and in hardships, in calamities, beatings, and imprisonments, riots and labors of sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, and the Holy Spirit with genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors, yet we are true, as unknown, and yet we are known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished, yet we're not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing with the poor, yet being made rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own afflictions. In return, I speak to you as children, wide and open your hearts also." When you think about persecution, nobody likes to be persecuted. it kind of goes against our grain. We want to be well spoken of. We want to be well thought of. Our nation was built because of religious freedom. The pilgrims came because they were persecuted. In the year 1630, while off the coast of Massachusetts, near the place known as Plymouth Rock, and by the way, I've been to Plymouth Rock, and it's a very small rock now. It is eroded away, and they've got it closed in so you can see it. In my mind, it was going to be this big rock off the coast of Massachusetts Bay, but it wasn't. It just worn away to a very small rock. Plymouth Rock is just a small rock, and John Winthrop, when he was up there, Winthrop said this to the establishment of this new Christian community off the coast of Massachusetts. We must be knit together in this work as one man. We must entertain each other in brotherly affection. We must delight in each other, make others' conditions our own, rejoice together, mourn together, labor and suffer together. Our community as members of the same body, so shall we keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. He continued on saying, the Lord will be our God and delight to dwell among us. You see, Winthrop knew that they were in a bad situation, but they were going to be in this thing together. Nobody could go it alone. Persecution brought them together, sent them to this new land. As we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, we read this. In all this, you greatly rejoice. What's the context? Affliction and persecution. Peter says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in many kinds of trials. You see, when we look at persecution, it's not just people coming against us because of our faith. Sometimes the trials that we face may become the matter of health, or may become the matter of not having income, or may be a matter of not having sound mental health. All these things are kind of trials that can come against us. But Peter says in verse number 7, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Verse 8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and you're filled with this inexpressible and this glorious joy. For you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. He continues on by saying, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with great care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they should not serve themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have not been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. Now, Peter is not minimizing pain and suffering. He's not saying the churches just needs to go through it like it's not there. He is not saying just get over it. He's really saying things are bad, and he's saying that it is real. But we readily acknowledge that facing the trial of all kinds of trials, not just one area of our lives, but in all areas of our lives. And he sets up this case, and this is a powerful case. He says, you know, the angels look at us as we go through times of suffering, and they wonder, how in the world do they go through these times of suffering? They're scratching their heads, and they say, well, they're searching the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit is giving them the power to go through it, but it's something that they are curious about. When we think about going through suffering, God sustains us in a very special way. In Philippians 4:4, we are told to rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, we are to rejoice evermore. You see, I can rejoice in struggles because they reveal the real me. In all of this, Peter says, verse number 6, we are to greatly rejoice. Though we may have to suffer for a little while, all kinds of griefs and trials, we should be rejoicing. Again, Peter is not minimizing the pain. He's not talking about this is not really happening. He says it's grief of all kinds. Not just one area of our lives, in many cases, many areas of our lives. One person put it like this when he said, life has to be lived forward, but it can only be understood backwards. We know that phrase, history repeats itself. If we want to learn how to make it through suffering, we've got to look backwards to see how those who have gone before us have endured suffering. As Americans, up to this point, we have not really had major suffering come our way. We have had what I would call soft persecution. And even in my short life, I think I've had soft persecution. I've had times where I was told I couldn't pray a prayer, I couldn't pray in Jesus' name, and I went ahead and did it, and there was no repercussions for me taking that stand. There was a threat, but no repercussions. So how do we look at this matter of suffering? What should our response be? Well, first of all, I think we need to look at this and say, we should expect persecution. Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. He says, everyone who wants to live a godly life, everyone, that's you, that's me, that's anybody who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, it doesn't say you might be persecuted. He didn't say that this is a possibility that this could happen. He says, no, you will be persecuted. Yes, he continues on, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So all Christians will suffer. Either you have or you will in the future. In Acts chapter 14, as we see the Jews coming from Antioch and Iconium, and they're winning over a large crowd of people to follow Christ, they decide to stone Paul. They stone him and they drag him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and he went back into that same city and he preaches the gospel. Unbelievable. I don't know about you, but if somebody stoned me in the town of Chesapeake, I ain't going back to the town of Chesapeake. But here we see Paul went back in, preached the gospel. And he said that he was going to continue to preach the gospel. And he said this, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. They said, Paul and Barnabas appointed leaders over them in the church, and they prayed over them and fasted over them, and they committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So we ought to be fervently praying for those who are on the front lines, who are experiencing persecution. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If the world hates you, it can't not, it's because they don't love me. Romans 8, 18, Paul says, I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to compare with the glory that is revealed in us. So we ought to pray for those who are persecuted. Pray for those, not necessarily that the persecution will stop, but they will remain vigilant and pure in that time. But where should we expect the persecution to come from? We learn from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that it doesn't just come from the enemy. Paul tells us that we are hard pressed on every side. So this may come from pressures of work, pressures of family, pressures of finances. He says we're pressed on every side. It could be health pressuring us or the lack of health pressuring us. But he says we're not crushed. He says we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We are struck down, but we're not destroyed. In other words, we're not done. We are always carrying around in our body the death of Jesus Christ, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. I don't know if you ever thought about persecution like that, but when we are persecuted, we are giving a message to the world that we are responding like Jesus responded. So Paul concludes that verse 12 by saying, so then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So in these few verses, Paul lists several types of suffering, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual suffering. George Mueller, that preacher of yesteryear who went and built orphanages that housed 10,000 orphans at one time, the man who had so much faith that he would never ask anybody for any money, he just prayed it all in. George Mueller said, the only way to learn strong faith is to endure great trials. Well, what is the reason for suffering in the life of the Christian? We discover that God allows suffering in our lives to test the sincerity of my faith. Verse 7, 1 Peter 1, these have come so that your faith may be proven. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Suppose these two stand for biblical conditions. Don't suggest that they calm down, go along, or get along. Allow them to stand firm in their faith. The faith of our fathers was not passive faith. It wasn't a sit around and do nothing faith. Those who suffer for righteousness are having the sincerity of their faith tested. And the leader of the church supported them. Don't criticize them. They celebrated them. Pray for them and encourage them. Dale Carney said, inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action brings confidence and courage. If you want to conquer fear, don't sit at home and think about it. Go out and get busy. We also learned that suffering comes into our lives to strengthen us, to strengthen our faith, and we learned that it's of greater worth than gold. Well, we're going to wrap up our time together, and we didn't quite finish talking about all the things that suffering does, and I'll add that on to the message for Monday, but I want to take just a moment and quote what D.L. Moody says. Faith takes God without any ifs. What is the if in your life that is holding you back? Maybe you're saying, I would serve Christ if I didn't have to go through persecution. I would serve Christ if it didn't cost me anything. I want you to know that you will never be truly free until you give yourself wholly over to Christ and Him alone. And so I want to pray that you will be blessed today in Jesus' name, that He will bless you and that He will give you the opportunity to see great things happen. Romans 6:22 says, but now that we have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. So, Lord, we thank you for your word today that teaches us to trust you in all things. Help us to be solid in the faith, pure in the faith, even when persecution comes because of this great salvation that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us.
Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. We are so excited to be sharing God's word with you with hope for your heart. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is called the Prince of Preachers. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase. Doesn't matter. Hope for your heart, no spaces, at hrcc and the number 7.org. You send me an email, give me your address, and I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500, 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address, and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. And if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know, and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m.
We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge Student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade.
If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And we would love to be a blessing to you. So feel free to reach out to us. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry, but I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us either through phone or email, or send us a letter in the mail, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. You are such a blessing to me, and you're more of an encouragement than you'll ever know. God bless you. I hope you have a prosperous new year.